If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Yep. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's theconfessionals@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. And if you want more of The Confessionals on a weekly basis, we release another encounter story on Thursdays, just like on Tuesdays. And that, my friends, is on theconfessionalspodcast.com. All you got to do is be a member. So go to the membership section right there, hit the join button, and become a member today. Now, we got a great guest coming on the show. We have L.A. Marzulli. We had L.A. Marzulli for episode 18, and he makes his return over 200 episodes later. We're excited to have him on the show, and we talk to him about two completely different topics. We talk about the COVID coup, as he calls it, when it comes to the coronavirus, and we also talk to him about his new project called On the Trail of the Nephilim. So we get into it right away, the first half of the show, with his COVID coup, COVID-19 thoughts and reactions. And then on the second half of the show, we get into it with his experiences running all over the country searching for evidence of the Nephilim. Let's get to it. All right, today we got a returning guest, somebody who is a long time coming, but I'm glad he's back. L.A. Marzulli, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Tony. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I'm glad you're here. Now, I just want to let everybody know a little bit of a background story to kind of get things going. You were on episode 18 of The Confessionals, and that's when I just first started the show. I wasn't sure what I was doing with the show yet. And I was at my parents' house, and we were talking about the show coming up and stuff, and my dad suggested to me, he said, you know who you should have on? L.A. Marzulli. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea, but I didn't think I could get you on. So I just shot you an email when I got home that night. And within like the first 30 minutes, you emailed me back saying, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, holy crap. I really didn't expect you to come on such a new podcast. And I'm really grateful you did. And now as a veteran podcaster, I know why you did, because attention is currency. And so anywhere I can go to be interviewed and draw attention to what I'm doing, I'm down for it. So I'm really glad that you came on the show early on. And to this day, 3 years later, people are still talking about the interview and stuff. They love you. They love the fact you were on the show, and they've been asking me to have you back on the show. So here you are. Thank you very much for returning.
Well, it's the honor is all mine, and it's just great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So there's two different topics we're going to kind of cover today, and they're contrasting topics, really. And we're going to get the heavier stuff out of the way as far as current events goes and stuff. I had reached out to you about the whole COVID-19 thing. I had saw some of your videos that you were putting up on YouTube and stuff, and I kind of just wanted to get your opinion as to what is going on here, because I know you kind of called it in some of your videos the COVID coup. And I'd like to have you kind of go into that a little bit and explain what you mean by that and how you feel about this whole thing, because we've been covering a lot on this show, and a lot of people have been having, differing opinions on it, because it's like the government's saying one thing and then they're doing another, and nobody really seems to know what to think about this.
And I concur. You know, I've been saying all along that the JFK assassination was real. Let's start there. JFK was gunned down in Dallas. It was a conspiracy. I believe it will eventually, when it comes out, it will lead to the higher echelons of the FBI and the CIA. I believe it was a coup. He was trying to get rid of the Federal Reserve, shatter the CIA and 1,000 splinters. That's a direct quote. And abolish the or bring our boys home from Vietnam. So, I mean, that was strike three. And they gunned him down in Dallas. And they, of course, the same thing with RFK. I think that was also another hit by the deep state, the shadow government. So that was real. The consequences of that were just unbelievable, just beyond the pale. And anyone, the word and label conspiracy theorist, to the best of my knowledge, came from anyone who would question the Warren Commission's findings that Oswald was the lone gunman. So anyone who had a different theory, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. And now that's just anybody who stands up and says anything against the status quo is now labeled a conspiracy theorist. Worse, if you stand up today and talk about the Wuhan virus, because it's, COVID-19, it's the Wuhan virus, okay? Let's call it for what it is. If you stand up and say anything, you're a racist, you're a fascist, you're a terrorist. It's unbelievable how the left and the loony left and the crazy media portrays anyone who's got a half a brain and dares to think outside the box a little bit. So the second rung on the ladder is the 9/11 events. The towers did come down. We all get that. But what caused the towers collapse? And let's just take the towers out and go to Building 7. Building 7 was not hit by an airplane. It had a fire. It's the first steel building in all of modernity to collapse like that from a fire. First steel building to collapse from a fire. Ever. That doesn't happen. And there's a reason for this, because steel buildings don't collapse from a stinking fire. That building collapsed at free fall speed. In my opinion, we're looking at a scalar technology, some sort of a weapon that was used that basically disintegrated the building. You can watch Dr. Judy Wood talk about dustification, because that's what's going on when the towers fall. You can see entire sections just turning to dust right before your eyes. How's that possible? How is that possible? And yet, because it's cognitive dissonance, people that never see anything like that, they can't wrap their heads around it. Fast forward to where we are now in day whatever it is of this crazy lockdown. First of all, it's an unprecedented event in all of history. The entire globe has never been locked down like this, ever, 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 ever. End of story. And now it's going into Africa. So it's basically a global event. And the goofy musicians on Saturday, we are the world. Next, the one world morons, with a little three chord rock and roll. Give me a freaking break. Just go away. Go away with your bad self. We're just all tired of it. and, you know, trying to tell us that somehow we'll all get through this together. We're a global community. No, it's not a global community. All right. And anyone who wants a new world order in a global community, see me after class. You know, I don't want to be lumped in with communist China. I don't want to live in Zambia. Okay. I don't want to live in a quasi fascist state like they have in Spain, because I've been to Spain, beautiful country, the people are amazing, but it's borderline there, really borderline in some of these other places. I don't want that. I want to live in America under the Constitution. That's what I want. So I don't want to be a global citizen. I don't want to be a global citizen. I don't identify with the Chi-Coms. I don't identify with what's Russia or what is Russia now. I don't identify with that. I don't identify with the multicultural nonsense that we see in Europe. So all of a sudden we get this ridiculous disease, and we're told by Dr. Fiasco, who I call Dr. Fauci, I call him Dr. Fiasco, and Dr. Birx, you know, they're up there going, 2.2 million people will die unless we do something. The sky is falling. So here we are after Trump heeds their warning and does what he's instructed to do, because he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's looking at. And this is the COVID coup. And we know this from Dr. Graves, who was on my show several weeks ago, where she is in correspondence with tens, scores of doctors all across the country. And they were pushing back against this stuff. And they said that a regimen of hydroxychloroquine showed not only promise, but the cure ratio was through the roof, according to their stats. They hand-delivered a written letter to Trump. It was hand-delivered to him. And the next day, Trump started talking about hydroxychloroquine with a regimen of azithromycin and zinc. And immediately, Dr. Fiasco gets up there, oh, no, we can't go with that. And then shortly thereafter, there was this big brouhaha in the White House over this with the COVID task force, where this Peter Navarro threw down the gauntlet and said, here are the facts coming in. He gave everyone a pamphlet of information. We need to go with hydroxychloroquine. It can work. We don't have time to wait a year to test for a vaccine. This stuff, we know it works. And of course, Dr. Fiasco, there was like a, apparently it got very heated. And so since then, we know that the models are completely erroneous. And of course, Fiasco and Birx are saying that the reason why it's working is because we quarantine and we self-distance, yada, yada, yada. So now we've got Bill Gates. Well, this will never go away until we vaccinate the 7 billion people on the planet. Oh, isn't that interesting? And guess who's going to do the vaccination? Guess who will profit from it? And here's what we had a Vimeo. We had a PBS report that was taken down on Vimeo because the content was not suitable for all advertisers. Wow. And was not according to our community. You know, that's what I think of that. So and the reason why I'm agitated is, well, what about free speech? You know, why is it that we have all these other people can get up and say anything about anything? But the moment I push back against the narrative, that's like hate speech, or I'm a terrorist or whatever, or spreading false information, which is what they said. So I pushed back and said, you know, this is what I said. I quoted Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. in the show. We show what he said about this and about Bill Gates. We quoted the fact that when Gates did his little polio vaccination nonsense over in India, upwards of 500,000, just shy of 500,000 children were paralyzed because of that vaccine. So why isn't the media running with that story? Why did they take it down? We got a clip of Bill Gates going, like I said, you know, flailing his arms, and this isn't going to go away until everybody gets vaccinated. I mean, there's an agenda here. There's an agenda here. And part of it is you collapse the economy and you blame it all on Trump, which is what the mainstream media is doing. They're blaming everything on Trump. So they can't get rid of him. This is a deep state. They can't get rid of him with the bogus FISA warrants, which allowed the FBI and the powers that be to spy against the Trump campaign. They can't get him that way. Then they can't get him with the bogus Mueller investigation. $25 or $30 million. Then they can't get in with the goofy Adam Schiff Star Chamber and the bogus impeachment stuff. There was no quid pro quo. How many times do we have to say that? And yet all these weasels like Bill Maher get up and try to, you know, spin this thing another way. Meanwhile, you know, Trump closed all traffic from China before anybody else did. Before there was one death in America, he did that. Is that proactive? Is that, and he's not a good leader? Are you kidding me? Nancy Pelosi and some of these Democrats should be ashamed of themselves, ashamed of themselves. But all it's about is power, power, power. So while America and small business are going under and millions of people are out of work, she's sitting there with a $24,000 refrigerator and showing us her, you know, $18 a pint ice creams. You know, are you kidding me? It's Nancy Antoinette. That's exactly what it is. And Trump did this wonderful campaign ad. The bottom line is here, they can't get rid of him. So now they do this. They're willing to collapse the economy. Why? Because out of chaos, order. Whose order? The New World Order. And that's what this is. And by the way, the virus, apparently the vaccine, it's going around on the internet. The patent for that is WO2020-060606. I'm not making this stuff up. Now, if that's a canard, I apologize. But it seems like it's real. I haven't, you know, checked it, but it seems like it's real to me. So WO, World Order, 2020, here we are, and, 666. So, you know, in my report today, we push back, the people of Texas are pushing back, the Michiganders are pushing back, and Governor Whitless up there, and I've got names I've learned from the president. Governor Whitless up there is, there's going to be revenge for the protesters. And then you get these left-wing people like Joy Behar. Oh, they're terrorists, they're terrorists. I mean, these people really need a checkup from the neck up. Thank God we're pushing back. But you get these draconian governors like Whitless up in Michigan and the guy in New Jersey where, you know, if you come into this guy's tulip farm in your car, you're going to get arrested and fined. Same thing in Alabama. This black pastor is trying to get a parking lot service, and there's like 10 cop cars out there. 10 cop cars. I mean, you think this guy was dealing cocaine,
yeah.
You know, meanwhile, he said this, you know, what about going down to the street corner where all the drugs are trafficking from? You know, why is it that liquor stores are open and churches are closed? Why is it that churches are closed, but the mosques are open, allegedly, in certain areas? I mean, this whole thing is just, you know, how come I can go into Walmart, but I can't go into this closing store? Why does Walmart stay open and this store doesn't? So will somebody explain that to me? I really don't understand. Why can I go to the grocery store, but I can only do this? And now I got to wear a pink armband in Montana. I think it's Montana, to show that I'm COVID free. I mean, this is, you know, next thing it's going to be a yellow star like we had in the Holocaust days in Germany. This is draconian. And thank God people in Michigan, the Michiganders, are pushing back. They've already got over 200,000 signatures to recall Whitless, and they need to get rid of her. This is the problem. What I love about this, one thing it is showing, it shows, you know, who are the real fascists, because Whitless is acting like a dictator. That's what she's doing. You know, papers, please. I mean, Achtung! This is what she's doing. She's acting like a flipping dictator. Same thing with the knucklehead in New Jersey. And Tucker Carlson asked this guy, what do you consider anybody's First Amendment rights? And he just kind of laughed and said, no, I didn't even think of that. Well, that's the problem, pal. You took an oath to uphold the Constitution, and you've already failed miserably. Recall that knucklehead, too. Look, I get it. The disease is real. We've had 40,000 deaths, and that number has been definitely padded, definitely padded. I don't trust these numbers as far as I could throw them, because we've heard that, well, you know, he had pre-existing condition when he went in and he died of COVID-19. Well, you know, how do we know that? And we get reports from doctors and nurses coming on the record saying that they're being told to rework the death count so they can drive up the numbers. So it's a pandemic. Well, I get that. But just like the flu. I mean, you know, and you go around here in Oklahoma City, everybody's got masks and people are like paranoid. This is no way to live. It's no way to live. And we need to lift this thing May 1st and get back to work in America and stop with this freaking nonsense. And it's coming out and it's unraveling. What gives me hope is that allegedly the indictments are going to be revealed this week, which will show. And, you know, Trump just said it over the weekend that the scum of the top echelon of the FBI and the CIA, the scum in the high ranks. And he's right. They are scum. The fact that they would create bogus FISA warrants to spy on our president even before he's elected, and then create this whole Russian P dossier thing, which was concocted by Hillary Clinton and the Steele dossier and all this other stuff. I mean, this is, I'm not making this stuff up. It's all there. And these people need to be accountable. And hopefully we'll find out who really murdered Seth Rich, and on it goes. There's a lot at stake here, folks. And the reason why Americans will not go quietly is because we're armed to the teeth. You remember, the Democrats have been trying to get gun control, round up all of our guns. Well, we don't want to do that. You know, we don't want to do that. And why do I need an AR-15? You know why? Because if a bunch of jackbooted thugs, if we really get into some kind of crazy shooting match in this country, God forbid we have some kind of a civil war. But, you know, you already look at the policemen rounding up people and saying you can't do this and you can't do that. I mean, you give these people a little bit of power and they're arresting people and citing people $1,000, a paddle boarder out in California. Arrested, $1,000 fine for paddling out on the ocean. They skateboard park was sand. You know, we can't have people skateboarding here. My God, Mayor Garcetti in Los Angeles. If you snitch, you'll be rewarded. I mean, this is draconian. These people are the real fascists. Those are the fascists. Those are the people that are against the Constitution, against the Bill of Rights. Shame on them. Shame on them. So Americans need to stand up, understand that what we're living in is tenuous, tumultuous, unprecedented. And here's the other thing. We might be looking at the rapture of the church. And I mean that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we went up soon. And I mean that. I'm hoping.
Wow. You came out the gates throwing fireballs. I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, let's take a break right now and talk to you about one of our sponsors for today's show. It is a serious sponsor because we're in serious times. Right now, I know there's a lot of people that are sitting at home depressed. They lost their jobs. They're laid off. They're not sure how they're going to pay their bills. And sometimes you need help. And BetterHelp is that company. BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, help. They are an online counseling service where you can sign up online and actually meet with a counselor online. You can even send the counselor messages 24 hours a day. They're very prompt in getting back to you as far as response time. And this is a service that is worldwide. So if you're listening to me right now and you're in Australia, you know I'm in Philly, you still qualify for this service. And this is a very important service I think that people should take advantage of, because if you need help, don't lie to yourself. Go get that help. And sometimes getting help through an online service is the most efficient way for your life, your lifestyle, or maybe even your personality. So if you want to check it out, visit betterhelp.com/confessionals. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Special offer for the Confessionals listeners gets 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/confessionals. You mentioned about the padding of the numbers, and I'll tell you, LA, I have a listener in Greece, and he emailed me, I'd say about a week or two ago, and he told me what happened to him and his family. His aunt was dying of stage 4 cancer, and she passed away from stage 4 cancer. The doctors came in afterwards, and anybody can go on my Instagram. I actually posted the actual email that he sent me on the Instagram. But he told me in this email that the doctors came in afterwards and asked him specifically if he wanted to deal. And he asked them what they meant by that. And they said to him and his family that the government is offering 5,000 euros to anybody who wants to claim their family member's death as a COVID-19 death because they're padding the numbers. And he was angry as all get out. Now, I know that's Greece, and I know that's one person's statement, and you know, show me the evidence, right? But he contacted me, right, and told me that that happened to him and his family, and he's been hearing that throughout the area before his aunt even died. And so what's the point of this whole idea of padding numbers? Well, maybe it's to push that agenda of forced vaccination. And, you know, that people say, sure, people say that, you know, forced vaccination, no, that would never happen, especially in America. Let me remind you about what happened with the Japanese camps in America. That happened because what they did was they took the fear, the collective fear of the American public against one enemy, and they turned that attention to your neighbors who looked like the enemy, and everybody was okay with it then to put people in camps. And so if you take the collective fear in this country of the vaccine, of the COVID-19, and you take the collective fear of that, everybody's more willing to say, yeah, I'll take a vaccine, just make sure I don't get the COVID. That's where this is going.
It is terrifying. And so what amazes me is how people are willing to give up their freedoms to suspend the Constitution for the promise of safety and well-being, for the illusion of safety and well-being. So, you know, frankly, we haven't gotten a PPP check. We probably won't. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi, who, you know, she loves her ice cream. Meanwhile, you know, people are going under. And you know what? This whole thing is just, I mean, I've said it right from the get-go, and I got criticized by people. Oh, you're going to be responsible for people dying because of this. Not so fast, citizen. It is a managed agenda. We are looking at an orchestrated event, a managed agenda. And I think Trump is realizing it because he's a really smart guy. And, you know, he mobilized the private sector to make the ventilators. I mean, this guy, you know, he's a CEO. We actually have an executive in the executive branch instead of a community organizer, right? Who the last guy was, who never held a real job in his life, for crying out loud, who has no idea of the private sector, and scolded us that, well, you didn't make that. Well, excuse me, Mr. Obama, with all due respect, sir, I did make that. My blood, sweat, and tears made that. The government had nothing to do with it except ding me when I made a lot of money and try to take most of it from me. Thank you very much. Higher taxes under your ridiculous presidency, 8 years, worst president in history, in my opinion. And, you know, I was targeted by the deep state. And I believe that the Obama administration used the IRS to target Christians and conservative voices, as I was one of them. Russ Dizdar was another one. Paul Bagley told us that when he was hounded by the guys from the deep state, they showed them a list, 50 names. There's Marzulli, there's Dizdar, there's Bagley, right there. 50 names. These are the people that we're watching. These are the rabble rousers of the dissidents. We don't like that. And Hillary was always supposed to be the president. There's no way Trump was ever going to win. And in the last 2 weeks, the tables turned, and Hillary realized that the Rust Belt was looking at Trump, and that the states that she thought she was going to win, it was a shoe-in, not so fast. Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, they all went, you know, red. They all went for Trump. And that's why the last week, Obama and Hillary go flying out there in desperation, but it's too late at that point. And they realize that all they promised these people, every 4 years, they come up and promise them something, and they don't ever deliver the goods. And that's why Trump was a shoo-in. His rallies are unprecedented in all of modern history. We've never seen anything like it, where tens of thousands of people wait, sometimes a day or two, stand in the rain, whatever, or the snow or the sleet or the hail, just to sit there at his rally. So all that's gone away. I predict he's going to win by a landslide. I predict that we'll take the House back and hold a supermajority in the Senate, perhaps. I really think we're going to do that. And the reason this is, the American people aren't stupid. And they see the sham of the Mueller investigation, the so-called Russian P dossier, the Steele dossier, all that nonsense, the Star Chamber with Adam Schiff. They see that. And now they're looking at COVID-19, the Wuhan virus, and realizing that, oh, wait, the Obama administration gave $3.5 million to the Wuhan Level 4 biolab. And by the way, the wag the dog, the classic wag the dog, well, the virus came from the wet market 20 miles away. Excuse me, what? The virus came from the wet market? And just how was that accomplished, mister? What evidence do we have of that? And now it's coming out that, well, not so fast, citizen. What may have happened is that the level four biolab, China's only level four biolab, which is only 20 miles away from the wet market, and the Obama administration gave $3.5 million for the COVID-19 nonsense. There you go. There you go. And I said that weeks ago. Of course, and I was a conspiracy theorist for even saying that. You know, I was a terrorist, a fascist, a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobe. Ah!
Yeah.
And that's where we are. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up, Tony. I mean, it's just, the loony left has gone. They've just all in lockstep just jumped over the cliff like a bunch of lemmings and embraced the theater of the absurd. When Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, can applaud the fact that oil is negative for barrel, first time in history, where oil futures are 24 cents, unprecedented, where, you know, it's negative and they have no place to store the oil. So isn't that interesting? And she's sitting there applauding the fact, hooray, we're going under, hooray. And other loony Democrats, we're going to have to quarantine like this and keep the economy shut down for 18 months. Excuse me, no, we don't, and no, we won't. American people aren't going to do it. And that's why people are standing up. Even in California, my loony state of California, right? They're standing up and pushing back. And they need to, and we need to, because we don't have all the facts. And the facts are being fudged. And the death count is not as high as 40,000. I would put it more like 25,000. I would take 15 right off of that immediately, because you're padding in numbers to make this thing look like a pandemic. Instead, it's a scamdemic. You know, it's the COVID coup is really what it is.
Yeah. You know, and I want to clarify something that I just said a little bit ago. I don't want people thinking that I'm saying that I'm anti-vax. I'm not anti-vax. I'm pro-choice. It's your right to decide whether you're vaccinated or not. You should not be forced upon a vaccination. So that said, we're witnessing a power struggle in this country, and you're seeing it lay out right before your eyes, where even with one of those briefings that they do every day and stuff, Trump played that, like, his own broadcast on the broadcast. And in that, he's showing how the news media has been manipulating things and turning things towards, you know, their agenda. And I found it interesting that in one of those clips, Fauci was in that clip. I find it interesting, very interesting. Now, you mentioned about, you hinted at this a lot, actually, the revealing of the indictments this coming week and stuff, and that whole idea. This is something that I'm very foggy on as far as where I stand. Now, before I even started the podcast, I was very vocal, and I would post on my social media, which was barely anything at that time, that I was obviously anti child sex trafficking, but I was trying to expose something that I knew was real before I even had the show. And as time's gone on, this emergence of Q has come along, where this idea that, well, we know it's real. With Jeffrey Epstein's real, and he's just a tiny piece of the puzzle. And so what are your thoughts on the whole idea of QAnon and these indictments? Because whether Q's real or not, if it turns out to be true, I'm celebrating. And if Q's not real, then we still have a lot of work to do, because what Q's talking about is real.
Well, here's the deal. Out of Shadows gets into the whole Pedogate stuff. If you haven't seen that film, Kevin Shipp, I interviewed him last week. He was on my show talking about Out of Shadows and what this whole thing is. Look, Hollywood is up to their eyeballs in trafficking. We know that. Just look at Weinstein's Behind Bars. I mean, how many women have to come forward before you realize that the guy was a pig? And I don't wish that, you know, jail on anybody. I mean, that's death. You know, some things are worse than death, in my opinion. And being confined like that for the rest of your life behind bars is a hell of a way to go. I mean, it's just horrible. And, you know, he's toast. I mean, that's it. He'll probably die in prison, maybe in a few years. But, you know, Epstein, look at Pedo Island, you know, look at the Lolita Express. Why is Clinton flying on that thing like 20, over 20 times, 26 times? And Hillary went a number of times. What the heck is she doing there? How is it that Prince Andrew sits there with his arms around a 16-year-old girl, you know, and she's got like a halter top on, so she's bare-waisted? What the heck is that about? What is he doing there? And then Epstein's, you know, Ghislaine, whatever her name is, in the background, you know, she's there with a big grin on and stuff like that. So, you know, look, the island is real and it's all sex trafficking. The whole thing with the Clinton Foundation in Haiti. What happened to the woman that apparently allegedly worked for the Clinton Foundation or was somehow tied into it? And she got busted with like 30 kids and it was child trafficking. That's what she was doing. How is that possible? And according to what I read, allegedly the Clintons came in and helped her and got a reduced sentence. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's what I read. I haven't been able to, you know, totally vet that. But look, you look at Pedogate, you look at Abramovich, which Microsoft did this commercial with, which the high priestess in the world, Maria Abramovich, which is the whole thing with spirit cooking. And Podesta goes to the spirit cooking thing. You know, this is Hillary's campaign manager. Hello. And goes to Abramovich's spirit cooking deal. I mean, these people are all in it together. Why would Lady Gaga spend time under the tutelage of Abramovich? I mean, why would Tony Podesta talk about, I need about an hour of pizza? Why would he say that in an email? All those are code words, and all that's brought out in Out of Shadows. And I'm really hoping that the hammer comes down. I mean, I'm just hoping beyond all hope. Do I believe in Q? Yes and no. The bottom line is we were told 10 days of darkness was coming, that Easter weekend the hammer was going to drop, that Monday all this was going to happen, and that's come and gone. And the guy that was feeding me a lot of this information has been really quiet about it because nothing's happened. Absolutely doodly squat. So it's moving very, very slow. I think the indictments are going to happen. I'm hoping that they happen this week. That's what John Solomon, who's actually a real reporter, has been following this stuff forever. He said indictments this week. So I'm expecting Clapper, Brennan, the whole crew, Rosenstein, perhaps Comey, all those guys. And, you know, Trump already said it over the weekend that these guys in the higher echelon of the FBI and the CIA were scum. And he's right. They are scum. The fact that they would try a coup by, like Rosenstein, I'll wear a wire. We'll invoke the 25th Amendment. We got to get rid of this guy. And this is the deep state. This is the shadow government. It is. This is what it is. It's a shadow government. And it's all going to come out. And I just pray to God it does. But, you know, a lot of the hospitals that were built, there's no emergency hospitals. Nobody's in there. The ships, one in New York, one in Los Angeles. As far as I know, nobody in there. So what are we really looking at here? Again, it's a managed agenda. And it's going to be really interesting to see if the indictments come down this week, how far it goes and who starts squealing and what comes out. This is the real deal. And I think the American people will see it in spite of the loony media that we have. There's now, I don't go to Drudge Report anymore because Drudge has just gone completely left wing. It's just unbelievable. You know, how is that possible? So I go to pro Trump news and I go to CNN too. And I'll check out Drudge. But I'm tired of watching the spin. I'm tired of watching these guys spin everything when it's not the truth. They're not telling us the truth. They're not telling the American people the truth.
Yeah, and those who are telling the truth are the ones that are being shadow banned on social media and being taken down. London Real recently was taken off a lot of platforms, and it's because they're like London Real does both sides of the aisle. I mean, they are like Brian does a great job with what he does with the interviews and stuff. He'll go conspiracies with David Icke, and he'll go with more mainstream stuff. He's all over the place, and they took him down because he allowed things on his platform that they didn't like as part of their agenda. And even with you mentioned John Solomon before the impeachment hearings started and everything was one of the most respected reporters out there. I mean, both sides of the aisle. He was very accurate and very responsible. But as soon as he started saying things that he said about the impeachment hearings, he was demonized as a conspiracy theorist. And it's like, John Solomon, are you kidding me? And so,
conspiracy theorists, right? It's just unbelievable. They use these terms over and over again.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where you really have to kind of step outside the situation and just view things for what they really are. And that's why I said it on the previous episode, and I'll say it again. Like, I really encourage people to step away from the mainstream media, whether it's Fox or CNN or anything, and really let your brain cleanse from the brainwashing you've been going through. Because when you step back into that realm 3 to 6 months later of cleansing your brain, you're truly going to think different, because you learned who you are. What they want you to do is to think the way they want you to think. And so each side is programming you into thinking the way they want you to think. And so if you step back from that, all of a sudden you find out who you are. The identity politics in this country is out of control. They want you to identify with a political party. They don't care which one. They just want you to identify with one so they can demonize, the other side can demonize you. You have to step outside of that and become your own individual.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more with you. It's exactly what's going on.
So I wanted to ask you about this as well. You mentioned earlier about 9/11, and I'm really interested. So are you talking about the building falling from a direct energy weapon? Is that what you were describing?
That's what I think it is. Some kind of SCAR technology, you know, SKLAR, scalar technology that was used. Thermite might have been used. I mean, we don't know. When you watch Dr. Judy Woods, and I remember looking at this thing when it collapsed, and I turned to my wife and I said, that looks like controlled demolition. And then I didn't know about Building 7 at all for years. And then someone sent me the clip, and that's what turned me around. I just went, oh my gosh, we were set up. And what did we get? We got the Patriot Act. We got TSA, you know, taking my camera bag and pulling everything out of it. There might be a bomb in here, right? It's just unbelievable.
And that's the thing. Like, I was talking with Dr. Paul Cottrell. He has a YouTube channel. He's been really sharing a lot of his thoughts on the whole COVID-19 thing in New York City. That's where he's based out of. And, you know, he is calling this time that we're in leading up to what he's going to call the Biopatriot Act, where they're going to use this to take away more of our freedoms.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
And so people are walking into this blindly, and he's trying to sound the alarm because, you know, he's saying, I don't just want 2019 America back. He said, I want 9/10/01 America back. I want pre-9/11 back, because we still have the Patriot Act today, and show me what it's good for. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Sorry, I had to quote a line there.
But you're talking to the choir. You are talking to the choir.
All right, before we get into the Nephilim part of the show, I want to talk to you about another podcast that I came across that I think is fantastic because it's very similar to The Confessionals. It's called the Let's Read Podcast, which centers around narrating true scary experiences from real people just like yourself, ranging from creepy stalkers to paranormal encounters with the other side, with the goal to lull you into a beautiful nightmare. Join narrator Let's Read as his sultry tones guide you through some of the most terrifying experiences one can imagine. Whether you're on the go, stuck at home, exercising, doing homework, chores, or just trying to relax, the Let's Read podcast will help you zone out the world and hone in on the horrors experienced by other first-person encounters. Let's Read has been described as a human Ambien with the ability to declutter even the most obnoxious mind with merely his voice. And with over 600,000 subscribers on YouTube and podcasts, one can begin to understand why. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening right now. You really came out the gate with throwing fireballs there with the COVID-19 and all that stuff. And I appreciate that because, you know, I think it's important that we explore thought and explore everybody's opinions as to what's going on here. And that's what we do on the show. We truly explore thought. And no matter who it is, we let them share their opinions and stuff, because that's how we get to the root of things. And that's what the mainstream media does not want to happen, people to actually think for themselves. And so let's transition a little bit now into On the Trail of the Nephilim. And so with this series that you're, would you call like a docu-series? Is that what you're doing here?
Yeah, the series is called On the Trail of the Nephilim. There are four installments in the series as we speak. Six is done. I could release it, but I'm not going to. It's on the DNA and the elongated skulls and Paracas. I'm working on number five. Four is America's Stonehenge, the Canaanite Connection, part one. Part two, which will be number five in the series, is America's Stonehenge. And we talk about the connectivity between basically the Axis Mundi, that Stonehenge in America in New Hampshire seems to be the center of the world. And that site is 4,000 years old. And what we discovered there was absolutely amazing. So, you know, what we do is we drill down into all of this and in the films. Again, there are four episodes. And you can go to the Vimeo channel, L.A. Marzulli, on my Vimeo channel, and you can watch them all for $12. That's the special we've got going now because of the Wuhan virus. Everybody's inside. You can binge watch all four episodes for $12. If you were to buy a hard copy of a DVD, it's $20 just for one. One DVD is $20. So we brought the prices way down. You want to get, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people watching this and understanding that there's a hidden history. There's a hidden history, not only in America, but globally, that's been deliberately obfuscated and managed by the powers that be. Oh, there's that conspiracy theorist again, but it's true. And our mission statement is to expose the deception of the Prince of the Power of the Air and to herald the return of the King Jesus. And in all four films, we expose the deception of the Prince of the Power of the Air. We show that these ancient megalithic sites, which are right here in America, America's Stonehenge, number four in the series, that it's a Nephilim site, Nephilim architecture, fallen angel technology. It's absolutely incredible what we see. And we're not making this stuff up. And, you know, you watch the films, and I guarantee by the fourth one, you're just be going, oh, my gosh, I had no idea this was going on. That's how important I think the films are.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I watched the very first episode and I was floored by the information you guys were giving out. It's very important to understand this stuff. I mean, we're living in a time where truth information is being suppressed. And one of the truth and information categories that's being suppressed is our origins and the origins of this country and what happened here before we got here. The Nephilim, the topic Bingo. Of the Nephilim has been suppressed through mainstream media and mainstream science for decades now. And in the very first episode, you had very well respected archaeologists coming out and talking about the truth of the matter, where they're not sure if what the mainstream media is spinning on this, and mainstream science, I should say, is accurate. I mean, I was really surprised to hear some of those comments.
Well, you know, we've got people, Mathematical Mysteries of the Mound Builders, the second one. We have a professor of mathematics. I mean, she's, you know, that's what she does. And she's looking at the Octagon Mound, which is this earthwork in Ohio, which is so large, it's 50 acres. The Octagon Mound Complex encompasses 50 acres. Got that? 50 acres. And it's an irregular octagon. And you can only see it from the air. We flew a drone up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet, 800, 900, 1,000 feet in the air. And we barely got the whole octagon under the camera lens. That's how big this thing is. 50 acres it encompasses. But it's not an equal octagon, where the sides are all equal, it's irregular. Two of the sides are irregular. Tony, in order to do this, even on paper, with a compass, a ruler, and a protractor, you've got to know geometry. You just don't draw this thing. You've got to know geometry. And in some cases, trigonometry. Native Americans didn't have this. And then you build this octagon mound, which encompasses 50 acres. How do you check your work? You can't check your work. How do you even know what it is that you're building, for crying out loud? How do you know? How do you know? Well, the only way you can see it is from the air. And guess who the Prince of the Power of the Air is? And so Dottie, the mathematician, the professor, comes on the record. She looks right at the camera and she says, with all due respect, a band of Native Americans did not construct this. And if I had a student that came to me and drew this on a piece of paper, and I said, well, how did you arrive at this? And the student just said, well, I just kind of guessed here and guessed there, and you know, this looked pretty good. then I would look at that as sufficient basis for cheating on some level. And she goes on the record saying that there's no way, in her opinion, Native Americans did this. Now, the moment I say that, I'm a racist because I say that. But let's turn that around. So let's go to the Serpent Mound, which is the largest serpent earth effigy on the planet. It's huge, okay? It's also in Ohio. And the serpent is in the act with its mouth wide open, devouring what looks like an egg, which goes back to Genesis 3:15. I wrote a paper on this, which it's a new paradigm. It's a different paradigm on the Serpent Mound. And it was groundbreaking. And I arrived at that. The order of events was Gary Stearman was speaking about it's all about the seed at the Nephilim Mounds Conference in Ohio. I was also one of the speakers. But a friend of mine, Mark Hurstman, listened to Gary, and he was just out at the Serpent Mound a week earlier. And he realized, oh my gosh, the serpent, the iconography that's embedded in that mound complex, that huge undulating serpent across the Ohio landscape with its mouth agape is in the act of swallowing the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15, the seed of a serpent, the offspring of a serpent, the seed of a serpent will be at enmity at war with the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman. He, Messiah, will crush your head. So that iconography of the serpent undulating on the Ohio grasslands, whatever, on this little peninsula of rock that goes out, it's a high place over a waterway, is screaming Genesis 3:15. Screaming Genesis 3:15, that the serpent is in the act of swallowing, destroying the egg. So Messiah, the one who will crush the serpent's head, will not be born. Now, archaeologists would never go with that. But when we were there, Fritz Zimmerman and I were there, we were filming there. All this is in the film Mysterious Mound Builders, as well as the second film, Mathematical Mysteries of the Mound Builders. We interviewed Chief Joseph Riverwind. And the reason why we interviewed the chief, first of all, he's a Native American, First Nation people. Second of all, he's a peace chief of the Tiano tribe. And we said, Chief, when we were there at the Serpent Mound, there was this new signage telling us that the Shawnee built the Serpent Mound. Well, the chief was incensed by this, and he said, I can give you a quote by Chief Wallace of the Shawnee, who states on the record in writing that the Shawnee people did not build the Serpent Mound. And then the chief, his eyes get kind of filled with fire, and there's a lot of passion, verve in his voice. And he says, you know, it's okay, like 150 years ago when the white man came in and did this, that, and the other thing, and told us that, you know, we didn't do this. That's one thing. It's another thing 15, 20 years ago when the white men are trying to tell us that the Shawnee built that, in spite of the fact that the Shawnee chief stands up and said, no, we didn't build that. So who's the real racist here, folks? Am I the real racist because I say that the Native Americans didn't build the Octagon Mound, didn't build the Serpent Mound, didn't build the Great Serpent Circle Mound in Newark, Ohio? I'm not the racist here. The racists are mainstream archaeologists who insist that Native American oral tradition didn't get it right. The real racists are guys like Cyrus Thomas, who stated at the turn of the 19th and the 20th century that Native Americans built all these mounds. They just forgot that they had done so. That's the paradigm that archaeologists hold today. That's the existing paradigm in modern day archaeology and anthropology, that Native Americans built the mounds, but they just forgot that they had done so. I wish I was making that up, but I'm not.
Yeah. And that's incredible to say that. And, you know, and I'm glad you went into the Serpent Mounds, because I heard you talk about that. And my mind was kind of like blown away with what you said, because I'd never heard that before. And I was like, holy crap, that makes more sense than any explanation I've ever heard. And so maybe it's because of my theological, you know, world perspective, but still, I found it very intriguing. But what you're talking about with the Native Americans and them saying that, you know, we didn't build these things, I would ask this question, you know, to the world, would you think that if you're going to say that these people, this group of people built these mounds and built this architecture, you would think there would be evidence to point that they built it before, maybe even on a smaller scale. But there's no evidence, as far as I'm concerned, that they built such types of structure, even on a smaller scale. You would think that that's what those kind of structures they'd be living inside of and things like that. They wouldn't spend all this time and energy building something so grand and huge if there's no evidence of them building it on a smaller scale. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally does. In fact, this is my presentation for Steve Quayle's conference this year. It is streaming. It is live streaming, and it's a video event. So, you know, go to Gen 6 Productions and you can check that out for yourself. But that was the whole point. I show specifically that these cultures, like in Corral, Peru, where I've been three different times. And when you go to Corral, this whole pyramidal complex, which reminds you of Teotihuacan, which is in Mexico, but that happens thousands of years after Corral. Corral is the oldest city in America. And this whole complex of 18 and a half year lunar cycle, of knowledge of precession, of the equinoxes, solstices, it's all there. There is no pre-existing culture which goes, well, maybe we should build a pyramid. Well, what's a pyramid? Well, I don't know, but we're going to build one. I mean, there is no pre-existing culture. This whole thing just rises up, just like we see in Newark, Ohio, at Cahokia, at the Graves Creek Mound. And, you know, they have no idea who these people were even called themselves. They make up names, the Adena, the Hopewell. Just make up these names. Hopewell was a freaking farmer. And he found some artifacts. So they named this whole lost culture Hopewell. It's not Hopewell. You guys don't even know what these people call themselves, and yet you're going to tell us all about it. You're going to tell us all about it. You're going to deconstruct it for us and let us know that these people built these mounds. Show us. And I love in the first film, we made a replica of a stone hoe that was used, let's say, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. And we hired a fit laborer. This guy goes out, and he digs in the dirt, and he gathers it and puts it in the bucket. They would have used deer skin, and then hauls the dirt to a location and then tamps on it with his feet. When I show that at conferences, people just howl with laughter. They just howl with laughter because the whole thing begins to collapse. We are told that to deconstruct one of these large mound complex, which is Mount Fort Ancient in Ohio, 3.5 miles of continuous earthen walls, 3.5 miles of earthen walls, okay? With 66 gates in them. Now, archaeologists say 67. We think they're fudging the number. It was probably 66 gates, okay? So you got the 66 gates, 3.5 miles of continuous earthen walls. When you deconstruct those, Tony, when you were to take all the dirt out of those mounds and put them in dump trucks and stack those dump trucks, line those dump trucks up end to end, it's 200 miles of dump trucks end to end. Now, this is Ohio, where the ground freezes, okay, from like October, early November to the end of March. So you've got this minimal window of time to build. And then you've got this hunter-gatherer society. So how's this going to work? How are you going to build this thing when there is no refrigeration? Yeah, we got jerky. I get that. We could smoke the salmon. I get that. But how are we doing this? It took thousands of years, LA. Guys are just making this stuff up. Just making this stuff up. You have no idea how it was done. Well, it was done one basket full of a time because we found one basket full of dirt in the mound. Well, okay. But what if that's a secondary burial? Or what if someone is burying someone in the mound and they're hauling the dirt up with the baskets? Why is it that the Graves Creek Mound in West Virginia was compacted so tight, that when they drilled in there, they went into the mound and they discovered this giant skeleton. And that skeleton was put on display. And we actually show this in the series and how they now have twisted it and Photoshopped the very picture that we released in our film. And, it really wasn't a giant. Oh, yes, it was. We've got the original photograph before you guys Photoshopped it. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?
You're absolutely right. What are you afraid of? They know the answer. We know the answer, but it's a standoff because we don't know who's going to answer it first. You know, what you guys pictured, especially in the first episode, because like I said, that's what I watched it for. I have the other three. I'm going to be watching them. what you guys pictured there was very good, that you actually showed what the tools they're going to use and how they used it and what the process took to actually build what the scientific mainstream scientific community is saying that they how they did it. And you got to ask your question. You guys asked this question in the documentary. How did they pack the dirt down the way they needed to in order to build such a big structure? This isn't like just dumping a pile of dirt and just keep dumping and dumping till you ta-da, you have what you have. There's actual work and effort put into this. And if you have the limited tools, like they say they had, something isn't connecting here. And I'm glad there's people like you that are actually truly questioning the official narrative. I try to do it on my limited time and ability here on the show, but I love referencing to you specifically. I learned so much from your stuff, and I want to ask you a question that many people ask me. And, you know, I have my personal beliefs as to how the world is around us today. Like, I believe that this world is very spiritual. And I want to ask you this. People ask me all the time, do the Nephilim walk the earth today? And I know you've talked about the Kandahar giant before. I've talked about certain things before as well, where I had a listener contact me who's in the military, and he was stationed in Afghanistan, and he would talk to locals who said that there are giants up I think it was called the Wakahan Corridor. It's like a natural refuge. And it's a very small section of Afghanistan that borders China. And they said specifically, they don't go up there because there are giants up there. Now, what are your thoughts on the whole idea of today, right now, giants being alive and well?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, just look at the Kandahar giant. And we know from Steve Quayle's work that's not the same giant. Steve Quayle's guy that flew one out was a completely different guy in a different location. Since then, I've had two or three other people contact me with sightings that they've had. And they were also in Kandahar. One of them was a helicopter pilot who immediately was promoted, and he took out a dead biological entity. And I said, was it a giant? He just looked at me, nodded his head yes, backed away from my table and disappeared into the crowd. So there you go.
Wow. See, you know what, LA, I didn't know it's that. Real. I did not know that. I'm glad you said that, because up to this point, in fact, I was on recently on a very large show as a guest maybe a few months ago, and I talked about the Kandahar giant, and I referenced you and Steve Quayle, but I thought that it was the same giant with two corroborating stories on the same stories. What you're saying is it's two separate incidences that you both uncovered.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there's more. That's my whole point. There are more than that one. So it's interesting. Absolutely interesting.
Yeah. You know, and I'll say this real quick. I've also been told, I've had people, because of the size of the show and the length of time I've been doing it now, I've had people come to me and tell me information, and you take it for what it is. But I did have a guy come to me who was retired CIA. I know for a fact he was retired CIA. And he had told me that his intelligence, what he was told was that the Moab bomb that happened in the beginning of Trump's presidency was actually targeting not only ISIS, but a cell of giants that they, I guess, maybe had a hard time taking out or whatever. But it's interesting that they use the name Moab because of what the Moabites did in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And so I find how a lot of this stuff is synchronistic and how it all kind of seems to blend together. But LA, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your thoughts on COVID-19 or the Wuhan virus or coronavirus or whatever you want to call it. And also talking about On the Trail of the Nephilim, because I'm extremely excited about finishing the series that you put out so far. I'm interested in seeing the rest of them when you put them out. And I'm telling everybody, it's action-packed information. You will not be walking away feeling like you're dumber. I promise you that. So LA, if you could, before we get out of here, let people know where they can find you, find the On the Trail of the Nephilim, or any other information or contacts that you want to put out there.
Best place to go is just to go to the website, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net. If you look under films, all that stuff will come up. You can also go to my Vimeo channel, LA Marzulli, and you can rent the films, all four of them for $12. So it's over 4 hours worth of film. You can binge watch them all. You'll walk away just going, oh, I had no idea. And we've interviewed some incredible experts and people who really know what they're talking about, archaeologists, anthropologists, and that's why we're on the trail, Tony. That's why we're on the trail. LAMarzulli.net, and the Vimeo is L.A. Marzulli.
Well, Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, let your friends know about the show. Either word of mouth, social media, I don't care how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it. And if you're part of our newsletter, check your email throughout the day because we're going to be sending out a special newsletter for you guys involving L.A. Marzulli. And if you want, go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all that fun stuff. But on Instagram, I've been posting and updating pictures of the studio that I'm building in my basement because I'm getting kicked out of this room because we are expecting another baby. So we are heading to the basement. So that's where I'm being banished to, the basement, but it's okay. The room's coming along really well. We're putting in carpet as you listen to this show. So hopefully by the time I'm recording more interviews this coming weekend, we will be recording in the new studio. Hopefully. All right, guys, until next week, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
If you're a smoker or vapor, ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.